what the f*** am I watching? This is terrible. This is like, if I would rather somebody walk in on me watching like horse porn than this sh*t. This is just awkward, cringy sh*t.
Radio Drone.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Drome. I am Josh Hadley, and this will be one of the worst sequels we've ever done. Hint, hint. With me, back again, is Cecil Shows Up Sometimes.
Yes, I'm here this time.
And Peter has internet again.
Part-time Radio Dromer, full-time asshole. At your service.
At least you got your priorities straight.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you guys speak about assholes. You go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code DROME, and you will get 50% off of a single item, 3 free DVDs, a free Power O-ring, and free U.S. shipping. Use the promo code DROME at adamandeve.com. So tonight, we're going to look at the worst sequels ever made, and then next week, we're going to look at the best sequels ever made. If you had to just rattle off what you think is the worst sequel you've ever seen, a sequel that just hissed you off and actually wrecked your enjoyment of the original, what would it be?
RoboCop 3.
Really?
Because, yeah, RoboCop was such a treasured childhood film of mine. I was such a huge fan of the character, and I had all the action figures and everything, and then I eventually saw the third one. I actually saw them in order. I saw the first one, then I followed up with the second one a few years later because I didn't know about it yet. And then at a friend's place, I saw the third one, and I was 11 or 12 years old, maybe 13, when I saw the third one for the first time. And I think I remember vividly saying, "This is a bastardization." Like, as a kid, just saying that, like seeing, the different actor playing Murphy and then the PG-13 rating, like the fact that it was bloodless and everything, the stupid jetpack thing, dumb, like, Yakuza robot thing. Like, I thought it was just the worst f***ing movie I'd ever seen at that time because I was such a huge fan of the first two and even some of the Frank Miller comics I'd been reading. Like, that was at a time when, Dark Horse was putting out a lot of those. I really didn't, and I know why it's bad. I know it's got a lot of studio interference and shit. You know, Peter Weller didn't want to do it because he didn't like the script or something. I think he had
it was actually, he turned it down to do Naked Lunch instead.
Yeah, which honestly, that's a good choice. I think, him without Naked Lunch, it wouldn't have been the same movie. But I think him not playing RoboCop really hurt it because he put in, like, as much as people can talk whatever shit they want about the second movie, he really, I thought he put in a damn good performance in that one. That one was a solid-ish follow-up. It's not any RoboCop 1, but it's still a good movie. And then the third one was such a, I don't care that Paula Deris came back to do the soundtrack or that it had like a RoboCop 1 sound to it. They brought back the Media Break people or whatever. It felt cheap. And whenever I look back on it, I do feel like it cheapens the first one a little bit because I mark out for RoboCop so hard. The first movie, I watch it at least 4 or 5 times a year. I'm pretty sure on average, sometimes more because I find it to be one of the most rewatchable movies of all time. And it's my favorite movie of all time. And every time I think about third movie and every time I try to watch it, it cheapens the first one because that one ended on such a great note. Everything was tied together so perfectly. It's a movie that, in my opinion, never needed sequels, even though the second one's fun. But the third one is such a piece of shit in so many ways that it fucking infuriates me as a fan of the first one.
And see, I didn't hate it, or I did, actually. I did hate it for quite a few years, and then I rewatched it again before Cecil and I talked to Fred Decker. It's got a lot of problems. There's a lot of things to not like, but it was better than I remembered it being. There are glimpses, there are moments of the first two film style in there. It just doesn't work as a movie.
You can see potential. You can definitely see what the original script was going for, eventually executed. It was the way the production meddled with it. I think giving it the PG-13 rating really hurt it because the first two are unforgiving hard R film. Like they got very heavy subject matter in them. Even if the second one's a little more slapsticky, it's still dark. It's got gruesome moments. That scene when RoboCop's getting like cut into pieces in the factory. What's his face? Officer Duffy's death scene is just brutal. The brain getting smashed at the end. Like it's just as hardcore a movie as the first one is in some respect. And the third one just felt like a toy commercial. It insults me. It insults my intelligence even still to this day. Whenever I try to give it a chance, I wish I could see it in a better light than you do. It just still pisses me off to this day.
RoboCop 3, what they did. Originally, RoboCop 3 was supposed to be a part of RoboCop 2. I mean, it was all one big, long script. But the problem was it was too much. So they took two.
I believe Frank Miller's word was unfilmable the way he wrote it.
Yeah, it was unfilmable the way he wrote it. So they cut it, you know, and they made two into two, and then they took, you know, the leftover stuff and made three. As when we talked to,
which makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah, it really was supposed to be like part, you know, the first part of it was the whole thing with Kane, and then it went into, you know, RoboCop fighting against the robot ninjas and shit. I'm sure it probably would have been done a little less slapsticky if it was, you know, if the two were combined into what RoboCop 2 was. But I love RoboCop 2 very much. I mean, it's not the just wonderful satire that the first one is, but RoboCop 2 is a lot going for it. 3, I just am sad because after talking to Decker and finding out a lot of the nonsense that went on, like the studio was in the process of going bankrupt while they were working on it, and they were really like hoping that the PG-13 would be able to save it. And then the studio wanted to lighten the tone so that they could kickstart the RoboCop TV series. And you can't have an R-rated movie and then tie it into a freaking TV. So you couldn't. Now
in the 80s, you could.
You know, well, in the 80s, you could. But I'm saying, but I don't know. I think they were still a little. Well, it was, what was that, 93, I think?
So 90, it was, yeah. Well, it was made in 91, released in 93, because it sat on the shelf for 2 years during Orion's bankruptcy.
Right.
Oh God.
But it's just a tragedy because I really think that there would have been a good movie in there if it wasn't just so meddled and so just kiddified. Like I didn't like the little girl pissed me off.
Oh,
you know,
God.
The, be
Nico.
Loyal like a puppy. I'm like, ugh.
I'm as loyal as a puppy. That was garbage. You just I forgot that about that scene. Now I just hate RoboCop 3 even more again.
Now you're mad.
Now I'm back to like 100% hatred of it. Like there's no chances for it at all. That movie.
I come from a very weird place where I'd like to look at things as their own thing. Like, I mean, I can take a movie with a really great sequel like Alien, and then you'd go to Aliens, and that expands.
We'll talk about
on...
those next week.
I know, but I'm getting to my point. I can expand that. Okay, so it took the story and expanded the story of the original, and it made it bigger and better. But if there is a bad sequel, then that for me, like, doesn't, I don't let it diminish my enjoyment of the original. Like, I will just be like, okay, that was shit. You know, it doesn't tarnish the original. The original still exists. So for me, I was thinking about it long and hard, and I have to say that the movie that is one of the biggest piles of shit and quite possibly one of the most disappointing things I've ever seen was Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I was so depressed because I love the original three Indiana Jones movies. Each one is different in its own way, and the first is the best. Two is just is such a roller coaster ride, and it's so fun. And three has a lot more of the feeling that the first one did, but it's still, it's just good. And then four is just such a fucking joke. Like they really were trying to pass it off to Shia LaBeouf to take over the Indiana Jones franchise, and basically the audience was like, no, Mutt. You know, we want Mutt to be Indiana Jones. Bad CGI. Shia LaBeouf swinging through the jungle like Tarzan. A terrible
with
enemy.
A monkey army.
With a monkey army. All right. Well, now they're aliens, but they're why are you mixing Indiana Jones with Area 51? And it was just so bad. So I was really disappointed. I had a buddy of mine who was a major, like, apologist. Well, no, you see? And he's trying to, like, defend it. You know, well, they fell out of the plane in Indiana Jones 2, and I'm like, I don't know, they're just, it was because of the way that it was done. It just worked better. And Marion drove the car off the cliff, and they drove down a tree.
Okay, I haven't seen it since it was in theaters. Didn't that also have, like, a triple betrayal? Didn't, like, his buddy betray them, but then he betrayed the bad guys, saying the first betrayal was a false one, and then betrayed everybody again, and it was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
I think they're actually, I think it was a quadruple betrayal, if I'm not mistaken. I think he betrayed Indy, and then he betrayed the bad guys, and then he betrayed, like, somebody else, and then at the end he betrayed Indy again, and I'm like, ah, just stop it!
I remember the Young Indiana Jones TV series, and the old Indy segments that took place, you know, then, in, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, Indy's greatest regret was having never married Marion. Okay, so in this movie, he marries Marion, so f*** the TV show, right?
Yeah, because he was in, like, the hospital at the end, wasn't he? Or, like reminiscing was, like, the whole thing, if I'm not mistaken, of him thinking
back. Well, in the TV series, it was just him going about his daily life. He had an eye patch, and something would remind him of an adventure. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he'd pass a bank of TVs, and something in his day-to-day life would remind him of an adventure, and then there was the three different time periods of his youth that they would go to, which is really a cool idea.
That is, actually, yeah.
But it was a good show, though, too. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember really enjoying it. I remember it having, like, very good production value. I just think that it's silly that it's, like, they did bring back Marion, and I'm like, Marion's a little long in the tooth now.
You saying John Hurt looked a little bit better?
Yeah, I'm saying that, you know, I don't know. I think it's just funny because, in reality, Harrison Ford was with Calista Flockhart, and like, I don't know, it just was it made me chuckle, but she was okay, and I don't know, I just, she kind of was,
to be fair, everybody was pretty f***ing old in that movie.
Everybody was old.
Harrison Ford's, like, face was, like, falling off his skull.
We'll have to see what how the new Blade Runner turns out, especially with Ridley Scott's assertion that Deckard was always a replicant. Oh yeah, explain what Harrison Ford looks like now.
No, but wait, no, I thought he just put that into with audiences. I didn't think that was actually canon. He just added that into one of the director's cuts, didn't he?
No. Ridley Scott has, in every documentary he's been interviewed on, he's like, of course he's a replicant. The only way the story works is if he's a replicant.
He's being a troll. There's no way Deckard's supposed to be a replicant.
I disagree with him. Deckard's not a replicant. My pick? Alien 3. You don't know how pissed off I was at that movie. I loved Alien. I loved Aliens. Alien 3 was just a giant steaming hate f**k to those first two films. It just said, everything you like, we're just shitting all over that. Oh, you liked these characters? F**k you then. And then the story was incomprehensible. It makes no sense. Alien 3 actually angered me. I was in high school when that came out. I actually walked out of the theater pissed off. After Alien 3. It takes a lot for me to be actually physically pissed off at a movie, and Alien 3 did that for me.
I liked a lot of elements of 3, and since have seen the production cut. That is just a movie that was being pulled in 50 different directions. I loved the base with the prisoners. I loved the concept of how they were showing, okay, this is an alien that merged with a dog, so now it's going to be a lot more feral, and they were kind of expanding on that was touched in 2 a little bit, and in the Dark Horse comics, of where it's like the alien takes on the aspects of whatever it hosts inside, which is why the alien that we had seen primarily before were bipedal, and this was much more of a feral alien, which was cool. And I liked the cast in this. I thought was terrific. I loved the world that they built. I just wasn't particularly 100% on board with the way that it was executed. I thought that there were a lot of just dumb mistakes that they did, some silly stuff that really I'd come to find out was a lot of course, studio interference. The ending with Ripley, like, falling into the lava, or into the magma or whatever, I thought was really cool. But then when the queen chest bursted, and then she grabbed it and, like, held on. Like, meanwhile, every other person that's had this has gone into convulsions because it is something that is tearing itself out of you.
And this is three times as big as a normal one.
Right. It's been fermenting inside of her for a while, and because it had needed more time to grow, and it comes out, she grabs a hold of it and isn't like, you know,
the entire basis of the film makes no sense. Okay, first of all, we have to accept the egg getting on board the Sulaco, which even David Fincher pointed out to Helen Giler, and I quote, "The audience won't care. They'll just accept that it's there." That tells you the kind of attitude that they had going into this. But then, what kind of fire protocols do they have on a military vessel in the future? So a fire is started by the acid. The computer never once tries to put this fire out. It just takes the remaining humans and shoots them into space. What kind of fire protocols are this? And then you've got all these prisoners set up on this planet because they found God? Weyland Yutani doesn't care about human life at all, but they're gonna keep resupplying a bunch of rapists and murderers at their expense? And 87 even says that the company keeps sending them supplies because they found God. Nothing in this film makes any sense. Nothing. It pisses me off. Alien 3 needs to die.
I've always enjoyed Alien 3. As Cecil pointed out, the aspect of the dog alien is a cool idea to make it sort of more feral than it usually is. It's a very, like, rabid version of the creature. I hated the early CG stuff where it's, like, running on the ceiling and shit, but all the animatronic stuff looked good. I love the visual aesthetic of the movie. I actually do kind of dig the story. I like this idea of the prison planet. It's incredibly mean-spirited. I mean, you have characters that like Hicks and Newt that were very memorable from the second film, and they just wantonly kill them off.
For
stupid reasons, sure. But, it made sense for the context of the story. It, made sense as to why Ripley is so down and out. Like, she's very defeated from the opening moments of that film. And she's a lot more cynical than she normally is. Like, she is absolutely at the breaking point of her character. There's even a point where she tries to get, like, the alien creature to, like, kill her, and, like, just stands in the boiler area or whatever and just wants it to come to her, and it doesn't. And then the ending scene, I don't nitpick too much when she's falling into the magma or whatever and she's not all convulsing and shit. So I think the movie was already mean-spirited as it was. You know, to have her, like, just start suffering all of a sudden as she's about to fall into, like, a fiery pit, I think would have been a little much. Plus, I think at that point, her character was so numb to everything that happened, to her just utter disdain for Weyland Yutani, to all the people she'd lost, you know, her daughter, Hicks, Newt, the entire crew that she was with in the second film, the entire crew she was in the first film. It was sort of a release, and she grabbed onto the queen almost symbolically, like, you know, I'm taking you with me, motherfucker. Like, that's it. You're done. If I'm going to be done, you're done too. I liked it. I thought the ending had a nice catharsis to it. I thought visually it sort of represented the same aesthetic that the first film has. Everything was very, very dark. Everything was very greasy and dirty. It had that same sort of working class vibe, lower than working class vibe, I guess, in the first one did. It felt true to the first and second film. It feels like a proper sequel. I've never hated Alien 3. There are elements of it that sort of annoy me a little bit. Yeah, the whole, they keep sending us stuff because we found God or whatever. Like, it's not something that's ever pissed me off too much because of the performances are great. I like a lot of the characters. I do like how it had the balls to be as mean-spirited as it was. The one that I truly fucking hate is Resurrection.
Resurrection is bad, but Resurrection didn't piss me off as much as 3 did.
I don't see why. Resurrection is unforgivable. That is an unforgivable film. Like,
yeah,
it starts off okay, and then that one I can't watch. Every time I try to rewatch it, I turn it off about halfway through because I can't get through it. It just irritates the shit out of me.
Because the first half is Firefly set in the Aliens universe.
The first half is actually not bad. You know, getting introduced to the crew and some of the characters and stuff. And then it just becomes this insipid, stupid slasher movie. Like, it doesn't even feel like an alien movie. It feels like a bad, like, slasher. It's just a body count film with horrible CG, and they try to make the aliens look more like hardcore, and they're like jet black, and they got like razor sharp teeth. It's just you. This is terrible. A horrible
movie. The baby alien was the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah. Oh my God. That movie is just horrendous. It's it feels like a bad fan. At least Alien 3, it feels like a sequel. It feels like it's tied into the first two somewhat. What I like is that it builds on the ever-growing corruption of Weyland-Yutani. Like, that company just looks worse and worse throughout those movies. The first one, it's like, you know, space truckers, you know, we don't really know too much about the company yet. Then you find out that there's, like, a malfunctioning android on board that tries to kill Ripley and the other crew until it gets its head knocked off. Then the second one, you find out that they don't care, you know, that they care more about this expensive piece of technology than they do about this crew that was wiped out by this alien race that they knew about, that they're sending space marines to collect the creatures from this, it was like a colony, the colony on LV-246 that they knew, you know, when you find out from Burke that they were all killed off. So it's like the corruption is rising even more. Then in the third movie, you find out that they're keeping this like junk planet filled with like prisoners or whatever. Like they're just passing people off onto this like this planet full of like rapists and murderers and stuff. So I kind of like that. There's an expansion of characters, of Ripley's attitude as a character, and of just how corrupt Weyland-Yutani really is as a company. So I like that. I like that there's a proper trilogy there, and Resurrection doesn't feel like anything. It's just a shitty fart. Just a fart that doesn't even have any oomph to it. It doesn't even stink. Like, that's how bad of a fart it is. Whereas Alien 3 is, I like it.
Alien 3 is diarrhea.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Alien 3 is not diarrhea. Alien 3 has a lot going for it. I can easily sit down and watch Alien 3 and enjoy the good aspects of it and overlook the bad.
Because it's mostly good. I think Alien 3 mm-hmm. is mostly good, and it has, I wouldn't say it's great. I wouldn't say it's like amazing, but I think it's good. Most third films in franchises tend to be the worst a lot of the time. And Alien 3, I felt like, doesn't even come close to that mark. It's a very enjoyable movie. I think that's David Fincher's directorial debut, is it not?
Yep.
Feature film directorial debut. He'd done music videos and commercials
before. But like for a full movie though, like he did a hell of a job.
He had no control over that at all. In fact, there's a great shot that was deleted out of some of the documentaries that leaked online.
It's amazing to me that Fox is number one studio in the country because they're all such a bunch of morons.
That's awesome. But yeah, I can see where you're coming from on Alien 3. I don't agree. I think it's a really enjoyable movie, and I feel like the true shit stain on that franchise is Resurrection.
Let's breeze through some others here that are considered the worst of all time. And like I said, we're gonna breeze through, but I found a list on complex.com, the 50 worst sequels of all time. Although they loosely define sequel because some of these are prequels and spinoffs, but whatever. Speed 2 Cruise Control. Okay, that one is pretty bad. I'll give you that. That
movie fucking sucks.
Yep.
And man, because I love Speed. Speed is such a fun movie. And Speed 2 Cruise Control. Oh my God. That movie quite possibly has the most endings of any movie ever in the history of all time.
Number 2, Staying Alive. Now, I didn't like Saturday Night Fever, but Staying Alive is pretty goddamn bad.
I don't think it's bad enough to be number 2.
I've never even seen it. All I know is that like Sylvester Stallone directed it and John Travolta is like really ripped in it. That's all I know.
He directed it.
He did. I'm pretty sure he did.
Oh yeah, he did actually. Yeah.
Yeah, because he has a cameo in the movie where he's walking down the street and he's got the leather jacket on with the
awesome
Bon Jovi jacket. Yes.
He like bumps into John Travolta and looks at him like he's gonna kick his ass. That's the only part of the movie I've seen, and it's great.
Number 3, Basic Instinct 2.
Never seen it.
Again, that one's pretty damn bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
I didn't even know there was a second one. Who is? Who's in that one even is,
Sharon Stone.
It's Sharon Stone and the governor from Walking Dead as a psychiatrist.
Oh, okay. Fuck. Oh my God. I'm looking at the picture. Oh my God. Look at him without the,
he doesn't even look like the governor, does he?
He looks so young.
Number 4, The Matrix Reloaded.
Bullshit.
All right. Both Matrix sequels were pretty bad.
Yeah.
No, they're not that bad. Let me put it to you. They're not bad enough to be number 4.
I agree with that. They're still, honestly, they're as not as good as they are as the first movie. They're still, you know, entertaining popcorn flicks like that. What's the third? The third movie is the one where it's the bunch of Agent Smiths reigning and Neo and him are fighting like in the middle of the city. Those are fun. Like they're not terrible, but they're enjoyable, ridiculous, like over the top cyberpunk movies. Like they're okay.
Son of the Mask. Oh yeah, God. That so deserves to be on this list.
I have purposefully avoided it.
Me too.
Okay, now I know Cecil and I are going to disagree with this. Blair Witch 2, you know what? F*** you. Blair Witch 2 is awesome.
No, I like Blair Witch 2, like, as it was, but the real version is the version that is the director's cut. And that is a completely different, that is a great film, whereas the Blair Witch 2, as it's released, I think is a good film.
I still like it, yeah. I feel like, at least as far as rewatch value goes, I prefer Book of Shadows, even as its original cut. Cause as iconic as the first one is, it's one of those movies you can't really watch too much. I really, base my enjoyment on a movie on how many times I can watch it. And Blair Witch 1 I can't really watch multiple times cause it's, the whole thing is build up until like the last 10 minutes or so. Whereas Blair Witch 2, you know, it's more of a conventional movie. It's got, the characters in it are interesting. It's well paced. I like where they went with it. So it's one of those movies I can enjoy on multiple viewings rather than the first one. So I actually honestly prefer Book of Shadows over the first one.
Well, and then we've got, now I haven't seen this one, Be Cool. I've seen Get Shorty. I don't even know I didn't even know Get Shorty had a sequel. So I can't speak to Be Cool.
Be Cool is the one where The Rock plays a gay actor or some shit. It's got John Travolta in it.
I think so.
Well, John Travolta's
yeah.
in both of them. Get Shorty was about Hollywood. Be Cool yeah. is about the music industry.
I only saw parts of it, so I can't really judge. I don't think I've seen the thing the whole way through, but I didn't hate it, at least from what I saw.
I wasn't like blown away by Get Shorty, so I never felt the need to see Be Cool.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Elmore Leonard fan and somehow I missed that.
Yeah, I just saw Be Cool, like a little bit of it on TV. Yeah, the same with Cecil. I was never huge on Get Shorty. I didn't even think I knew that Be Cool was a sequel. I never caught that.
I think what got me was in the trailers for Be Cool. Like they were doing something because it was Travolta and Uma Thurman together. They had to throw in like a Pulp Fiction thing, and they kept, I'm like, nope, not seeing it. That like it, to me, it just screamed desperation.
I think the next film on this list screams desperation, and none of us are going to debate its placement. Caddyshack 2.
Never even seen it.
It's
worse.
Bad.
I literally just watched Caddyshack a week and a half ago. Caddyshack 2 is an abomination of a movie.
Caddyshack is seriously, hands down, it's not even up for argument, one of the greatest comedies of all time. And Caddyshack 2, what the fuck? It is so amazingly unfunny. I don't know like how they screwed it up so bad.
I never had any desire to see it because it just looked like shit.
It was.
It really is.
And then the next film we've already discussed in our Wes Craven retrospective, Hills Have Eyes 2, which is not even a real sequel because it's only half of a damn movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hills Have Eyes 1 sucks, and Hills Have Eyes 2 is even worse.
and then we've got Too Fast, Too Furious. Now,
bullshit.
I hate all of the Fast and the Furious movies below 5. I did not like 1 through 4 or Tokyo Drift, but you know what? I think 5 was freaking great. So, I agree, Too Fast, Too Furious was really bad.
I've only seen the first one the entire way through, and then I've seen parts of every other one, like back in, when I was in my earlier 20s, like 19, 20, 21. I do want to check out, everything, Fast 5 and after and stuff,
Okay, Peter, Fast 5 has no right to be as good as it is.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it looks like a good, like, action movie, whereas I have no interest in the other ones, because, God, I don't give a shit about cars, like, especially those kinds of cars, like the shiny. Yeah.
But see, it stopped being a street racing thing after 4. It became a heist, a series of heist films.
That's cool.
And that's when it got better.
Well, but the thing was, it always has been a hut, like they start, it was street racing,
but it didn't
but they
focus
also,
on the heists.
Yeah,
but
it's very overshadowed. It's overshadowed by the, politically incorrect term, rice rockets.
Right. That's the rice the rice
But I never liked the aesthetic of the movies, the very like dude bro sort of attitude Like, I don't know. I was never really much of a Vin Diesel or Paul Walker mark. Like, I like Vin Diesel as Riddick. That's about it. Other than that, I think he's a very boring, one-note kind of actor. So, I have no real, opinion either way, just because they're movies that never really interested me a whole hell of a lot.
Well, now none of us are gonna argue this next movie, although I think it should have been higher on the list, is Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh, man.
Yes, now that's something that should have been, that's why I'm saying, like, Matrix and whatnot, or at least, you know, 2 and 3, like, you can watch them and get enjoyment out of them.
Blues Brothers 2000 is physical torture.
No enjoyment to be had.
It was one of those movies that I saw on TV. Like, I never went to go see it in theaters. I loved Blues Brothers growing up, the original. It's a fantastic movie. And then watched a bit of Blues Brothers 2000 just on TV back when I was in, I think it was like early high school or something. I didn't even know it existed. I was like, there's a sequel to Blues Brothers? Really? Okay. And then pretty sure I switched the channels like 20 minutes into watching it. It was the same sort of effect that Napoleon Dynamite, I know it's not a sequel to anything, but Napoleon Dynamite and Blues Brothers 2000 gave me the same reaction as both of them. I tried to watch on TV and just watch like a few scenes and change the channel. I think with Napoleon Dynamite, it was the large talons scene. And I was like, fuck this.
Okay. I did not like the original Grease. So I never even saw Grease 2. I don't know if it's really as bad as everyone tells me it is.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I don't remember it being that bad. It's just more, like, if you don't like musicals and shit, then you're not gonna like it. I like Grease a lot. I think it's like, it's one of the few musicals that, I enjoy. I won't watch it, like, all the time, but if it's on or something, I'll watch it. But, Grease 2, I don't think it was all that bad. Although it is the typical funny thing where Maxwell Caulfield, who is a really good looking guy, he plays the nerd who has to, like, become like one of the greasers or whatever to get attention. And I'm like, what?
From Michelle Pfeiffer.
From Michelle Pfeiffer, who's beautiful, but she looks like she's about 30 in the movie. And she's playing, you know, the high school student. I mean, I guess it's better than Rizzo from the first one, who looked like she was 40 and she's supposed to be the hot high school chick.
The slut, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was the slut. Yeah, she was the one that put out because they thought she got knocked up. And, but yeah, I'm looking, like, right away you see, like, Maxwell Caulfield and, like, nobody's giving him, like, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, this is freaking Rex Manning.
Let's bowl, let's bowl, let's rock and roll. That's it.
Okay. Now, I never saw this one, but The Hills Have Eyes 2 remake.
The Hills Have Eyes 1 remake is out standing.
Mm-hmm.
The Hills Have Eyes 2 remake, Alexander Aja, who directed, and I believe he wrote the original remake, didn't want to do the sequel because they wanted to do like a fast turnaround and he wanted to work on something else. And essentially, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was Wes Craven's son who wrote the script for Hills Have Eyes 2 over the course of a weekend so that they could have it in production to have it out, you know, within a year after the first one came out because the first one was such a like runaway hit. And it is abysmal. It looks like something that somebody just went on a bender and wrote. It's like, it's so unbelievably bad and stupid and filled with bad decisions and bad effects and bad.
Is it worse than Piranha 3D? Cause that was pretty damn horrible.
I like Piranha 3D.
Of course you did.
It was
three
fun.
Double D.
What do you want?
Three double D is the bad one. 3D was fun. The remake sequel to Hills Have Eyes 2 is just bad though. The one thing I remember from it is this really awkward scene where one of the mutants rapes a chick and it goes on for like 3 minutes and he's just like thrusting away on a tape, like humping at this chick. And it's like, why? We don't need to see this. Not because it's rape, but because it's poorly shot. There's no pacing.
It's gratuitous.
This thing is just like humping away like, it's like, okay.
You make a baby for us.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like, wow, this movie is trying so hard to be like Shock Factor, edgy, rapist mutants, and it's like, you suck. This is horrible. I almost prefer the fucking like Wes Craven Hills Have Eyes 2 because at least that had the gay dude from Friday the 13th Part 7 as like a random.
It also had a dog
dude
with a flashback.
Yeah, you got flashback dog, and you've got gay dude from Friday the 13th Part 7 telling like the main villain of the film, I'm gonna kick the shit out of you. And it's like, wow, this movie really hates its characters. Like, we're not even gonna try. Gratuitous. Like, you make baby for us and just humping away on the table. And it's like, yeah, mutant rape, great. Yeah, it should make you, like, uncomfortable, like, and really hate the characters that are doing it. Whereas, like, in Hills Have Eyes 2, it's like, that's the one thing, that's how fucking stupid this movie it is. It's the one thing I remember is this chunky mutant thrusting on a table with this chick laying there and just going, and I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? This is terrible. This is like, if I would rather somebody walk in on me watching, like, horse porn than this shit. This is just awkward, cringy shit.
All right, next. And now, Cecil, we don't know the director's cut, so the theatrical released cut of Crow City of Angels is a goddamn mess. Okay?
No,
it was not supposed to be, but what came out was garbage.
I had it confirmed by the director himself that my video was 95% correct.
No. I'm not saying you weren't. I'm saying the Crow City of Angels being on this list, the theatrical cut does deserve it because the theatrical cut is a fucking train wreck.
Because they turned it into the Crow 1 and the movie wasn't supposed to be the
right,
Crow
1. Right, but we have to judge the film that was released for worst sequel. And it is.
It's even as it is, I don't know, there's something style there. That was what made me want to dig into it more, because the style and everything about it, it just seemed like there was so much more beyond the surface. I'm like, there's something that just doesn't feel right. And the more I looked into it, the more I discovered, of course, the studio butchered it. They said, okay, much like Blair Witch 2, oh yeah, go make a movie that, you know, go make the movie that you want to make. And they came back with the movie that he wanted to make. And they're like, this isn't the movie we wanted you to make. Wanted to make a movie that was not a copy paste of the first movie. So he shot The Crow City of Angels the way that he wanted to and made it into a much different film.
I actually think after watching your video, his movie would have been good.
Yeah.
What was released to theaters was not.
What was released into theaters was not good. It, like I said, it has something about it that, like, I don't know, I liked it before I really looked into it to find out what was going on. I think that there was so much more lore and so many things that they opened up and just some really interesting ideas that they were going down. And, it's such a tragedy that, it's just messed up like that. Instead of being the Crow City of Angels. The Crow City of Angels had a different everything. The whole, like, I mean, it was a sad ending. It wasn't like, you know, he didn't win. Like, everything went bad. And in this, they tried, you know, they made it to have like they turned it into the Crow. And it wasn't supposed to be the Crow.
I never saw the third film, but I hated the first film, so Hangover 2 is the same damn movie. Hangover 2, I think, is a terrible sequel, but it's a sequel to a terrible film, so.
Yeah, the Hangover 2 is the same goddamn movie. It's in a different location, but it's the same goddamn movie. And the first one sucked, and this one sucked even more, because it was the same movie, just in...
Suckier.
Just in a different, like, it was seriously, like, just a copy, like, it was one of the most blatant copy pastes of a movie I've ever seen. It was the same goddamn movie. The finale, they find him on a roof, just like they did in it was so fucking bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of Hangover, the first one, really all that much, but yeah, that one was just, it's a copy paste. I mean, there's a way to do that and do it well, to do the same sort of themes. Like, if you want to get technical with it, the Back to the Future movies, all three of them are sort of the same movie in a way. They sort of hit similar beats, that they have callbacks to lines from the previous film, and they try to have this sort of weird deja vu sort of element to it. But yeah, Hangover 2 is flat out a copy paste of the first film, which the only good thing about these movies is the director seems to be obsessed with Danzig, and there's always a Danzig theme, and that's always the best part of the movie, and it always makes me want to just go listen to Danzig all night rather than just watch this piece of crap.
Speaking of piece of crap, we have Aliens vs. Predator Requiem. Okay, it's a terrible movie. Maybe if I could see most of the movie, I'd have a higher opinion of the fucking thing.
Yeah.
I even contrasted scenes from the trailer, which were quite light, and scenes from the finished film. They literally artificially darkened this film. It was not shot like this. It was not shot in squint vision. I don't know why they thought that was the aesthetic to go for, because go and watch the trailer and then watch those same scenes in the movie. Or I should say attempt to watch those same scenes in the movie. All you see is vague shadows moving around in the damn movie.
Yeah, that was a real disappointment, because I was really excited for that one after the first AVP came out, and everybody was super disappointed by how cheap, you know, the Predator prosthetics looked, and the really bad CGI, and it's bloodless, and flat characters, and all this stuff, and all that had going for it was that it had aliens and Predators in it, but it didn't have, like, you know, what made them sort of what they are, and that's an R rating. Like, the Predators, like, rip people's spines out and skin people, and aliens, like, bury their little mini mouth into, like, people's heads and rip people apart and stuff like that. And you'd think this is gonna be, like, the most, like, it's gonna be the most, like, extreme movie ever. It's gonna be like the comics, it's gonna be like the video games, and it was just a letdown piece of crap. And the second one, the trailer comes out, and I lost my mind. I was like, this looks awesome. It's like, whatever.
It's hard R, it's mean.
Yeah. It's really mean. The Predator looks awesome in it. The aliens look cool. The action looks great. It's violent as all f***. The characters don't even matter too much because it looks like they're actually going for, it's mostly Alien and Predator action stuff with cannon fodder characters, which is what they need to do. If you're not going to have Space Marines in it, just have characters that don't matter that you can wantonly kill off, because it's all about the Predators and the aliens in this thing. I went and saw the movie and I couldn't see a goddamn thing.
No, you went and thought you saw the movie.
Went and thought I saw it. I paid for it. I sat down in the theater. You know, I had my nachos and my nacho cheese and my salsa and my soda, and I'm sitting down getting ready to have a hell of a time, and I just walked out of the theater convinced that I saw an awesome movie. Like, it was one of those times when you're kind of in denial. Like, it's like, yeah, what I saw was cool. There's some cool moments in there, and then a couple weeks go by. And I just found myself getting really annoyed because I went rewatched the trailer, and what I saw in that almost looked completely different to what I saw in the finished film. And then I was like, you know, maybe it was just a weird print in the theater. Maybe that was it. Like, something about the reel was weird. Maybe, like, something maybe it was blotchy. Maybe I should have tried to get a refund or something. And then I got it on DVD like an idiot. I watched it, and it was the same f***ing thing. It almost looked worse on DVD than it did in the movies. Like, you really, like, the sewer scenes are damn near unwatchable. The fights on, like, the rooftop and the hospital, like, even like the, what should be a scene in daylight when they're in, like, the woods, and that, like, hunter with his kid end up getting killed by the face huggers and stuff. You can barely even see anything in that scene. Like, everything looked, like, the trees look black, and it's in the middle of the day. That was, I feel like that one doesn't deserve to be on a list of worst sequels because it's a bad film, because I don't think it necessarily is. I think what's in there is a really good Alien versus Predator movie. The best part of that film is watching the trailer and looking at the promotional pictures and looking at the behind the scenes photos and the behind the scenes videos, because you see some really good shit. The Predator costume looks great. Ian White did a really good job of playing the Predator. The aliens themselves had a nice throwback to the second movie. A lot of the set pieces and the gore and the general aesthetic of capturing what Alien versus Predator should be and should feel like was all there. Even the plot was reminiscent of the old Super Nintendo game where the Predator ship receives like a distress call and comes to Earth to hunt aliens. Like, that's basically the plot of Alien versus Predator Requiem. Instead of being on like a space colony, it's on Earth, which that really drew me in. I thought that was really cool that they're actually having elements of other versions of Alien versus Predator that was in the 90s and the comics and video games and stuff like that. And it's like, this is really exciting. This is going to be great. This is going to be a total redemption. It shouldn't even be called Requiem. It should be called Alien versus Predator Redemption, because it's going to redeem that Paul Thomas Anderson pile of crap that came out a few years earlier. And it just left me feeling just as disappointed because I couldn't see anything. And they're probably never going to release a proper version of it, because I think they like ruined the negative or something. Like, I don't think there's any way they can actually go back and fix it, because there was a good movie in there. They just ruined it physically.
You're not wrong about the DVD version. The DVD version was darker than the theatrical version. What happened was a lot of people lost their shit. They were complaining about how, same thing, you know, how, you know, they couldn't watch the movie. So when the movie was put out on Blu-ray, Fox had them lighten the picture. Now, it's not like to the point of where you can actually see what's going on, but you can get a little more detail and you can, you know, get a bit more. So, it's closer to what the movie should be. I don't know what the thing is. Cause the thing is the guys who directed this are the Strauss brothers, and they've been doing special effects since like the mid-90s, and they're two effects guys, and they've worked on a lot of really big movies and movies where you can actually, you know, see, like they worked on 300 and fucking Alien, some of the X-Men movies and Aeon Flux and movies where you can see what the hell's going on. So I don't know what happened, because they did a lot of, there was a bit of CGI, but they did do a good blend of practical effects and CGI.
Yeah, it wasn't shot like that though. Look at the scenes in the trailer. This was some kind of post-production decision by Fox or them that said we need to darken this for some reason.
Yeah, it had to be the studio saying this isn't like edgy and like dark and teal enough. Like this has to look like a modern sort of horror movie. And it's like, but it's not a horror movie. It's Alien versus Predator. It should have the trailers looked like it was shot more like the first two Predator movies. Like it had that kind of aesthetic to it. And then they just ruined it.
I have a feeling that probably what happened was, if I had to guess, it was a butting between the directors and the studio to the point of where they were like, okay, this is, cause they said, they're like, we wanted to focus on the aliens and the predators because in the movies, the humans have always kind of been the heroes. And they're like, we wanted to show these two, but like people have seen that numerous times. We want to show these two badasses fighting, and then all the humans are essentially cannon fodder. Mm-hmm. So they did it like that, and then more than likely what happened was they released this movie and it was brutal. I mean, they did the Alien vs. Predator Requiem, and then like the R turned red, so it was like, okay, yeah, you know, we're getting AVP R, yes, you know, R-rated movie. They probably went to turn it in for a rating, and due to how vicious and brutal it was and how the aliens just had, you know, predators had no regard for human life, they probably came back with like an X or something. And they were like, well, if you darken the film, you know, maybe that will, you know, we can lighten the rating and take it down to an R. That's like probably the only thing I could possibly think of, because no way for somebody to conceal that much of the movie. I mean, it really is bad. I mean, it's and like we've said repeatedly, it was not shot like that. It was not shot dark. And I would really like to be able to talk to the directors and find out why, like what happened. Was this, you know, was this you? I don't think it was you.
Absolutely not. It couldn't have been with how the trailers looked.
Yeah. Because seriously, if you go back and you look at like these guys, like all the movies that they've worked, they've done effects on, even they did Skyline, which is another movie that they directed that they did out of pocket. And that movie is like bright and colorful. And I know a lot of people don't like it, but you can see what the hell's going on.
It's a very bright, visually pleasing sort of movie. Like it's not dark. It's not grimy at all. It doesn't look like that's, the finished product of AVPR does not look like what fits their directing aesthetic. It's not what they're about visually.
Do you know what the release print looks like? I was a video bootlegger in the 1990s. This looks like a bootleg work print.
It
does.
Because
the work prints tended to not be color corrected or matched yet. And that's what this really looks like. The release print looks like the kind of work print bootlegs I used to sell on VHS.
That's exactly it. That's what it looks like. It looks like a friggin' bootleg that you would like get pirated that somebody shot on like their camcorder. That's what it looks like. It's muddy, it's dark, and you can barely see anything. That should not be a proper release of a film. It's just insulting.
All right, well, we're running out of time, so it looks like I lied. Next week, we're not going to look at best sequels. That'll be in 2 weeks. We're going to finish worst sequels next week, right? Because we're out of time.
I had a feeling this was going to be a two-parter.
I didn't plan it, but we went into more depth for some of these, and that's not a bad thing than I intended. So next week, we'll finish up worst sequels, and then we'll go to best sequels. So in the meantime... Nice. Peter is one of the better sequels out there. Where can he be found?
You can find the Peter sequel on Twitter at Zinematica on, it should be Zinematica 2, I guess, if I'm a sequel, but no, it's Twitter at Zinematica, Facebook, The Cinemasochist, YouTube, The Cinemasochist, find me at, 1201beyond.com and, grindhousechannel.com as well.
Cecil is not a sequel. He's more of a sidequel. Where can he be found?
Sidequel.
Sidequel. Sidequel is always such a weird word to me.
What the hell is a sidequel?
First time I ever heard, the first time I ever heard that was when David Peoples called Soldier a sidequel to Blade Runner. I'd never heard that term before.
I guess it's not a prequel because it takes place in the same universe, but it is, it's meant to be the, it is meant to be the same as the universe as Blade Runner, isn't it? Like,
because
there's
it is. David Peoples expressly says that those are not in jokes in Soldier. That that's meant to be the same universe. And since he wrote Blade Runner, it's like no, he used the term sidequel. It was the first time I'd ever heard that, and I liked it.
And
that's
he,
so cool.
He brought in the effects guy from the original Blade Runner to rebuild the spinners and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it definitely, I mean, it makes sense, but it's kind of such a weird name, but it makes the most sense. Anyway, you can hear me making sense over at, Escapist Magazine, goodbadflix.com, as well as Good Bad Flix on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook.
And you can find me neither a sequel nor a prequel. I'm just that bad remake that nobody really wants to acknowledge ever happened. And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact this show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. We'll see you next week for the rest of the list. Keep one foot in the gutter, one fist in the gold.
Weirdly self-loathing at the end there.
Radiodrome is a 1201 Beyond production. Find it and other great content at 1201beyond.com.